Thank you for joining me. I'm Kimberly Rogers, and you're listening to the Torah portion for February 1st and 2nd, 2013, from sundown to sundown. This teaching is brought to you by themessianicmessage.com, themessianicmessage.com. I hope that you enjoy this teaching. All right, and before we get started, let's say a word of prayer. Baruch atah Yehovah Eloheinu, Melech haolam. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, Creator of all things. Holy is your name. Abba, we thank you for your Torah, for your Shabbat, and for your commandments, and for the instruction that you have provided for us. Abba, I lift up all the brethren around the world for your protection against what is coming. I just pray that you will be with everyone listening, and that no matter what I say, if it's not from me, let it just fall on deaf ears and fall on the ground and die. And may your word prevail and what you say prevail. And may your word bring forth good fruit for the kingdom. We love you, Abba. We thank you for Yeshua and all that he does for us. Just keep your hand on the city of Jerusalem, Abba, as its fate is being decided. And hurry and come back soon. Gather the exiles. Let us be with you. We pray in the name of Yeshua. Amen. Okay, well, here we are again at another Shabbat. I just love to do Shabbat, and so I get all excited when Shabbat is coming. This week's Torah portion is Yitro, or Jethro. It's Exodus chapter 18, starting at verse 1, going all the way to Exodus 20, verse 26. The Haftarah is Isaiah 6, verses 1 to 13, Isaiah 7, verses 1 to 6, and Isaiah 9, verses 5 and 6. And the Brit Hadashah is Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 to 20. Now, I want to give you just a little overview here so that we'll be able to kind of just march right into this Torah portion and know exactly what's going on. First of all, we'll remember that the Hebrews, the children of Israel, got stuck in Egypt. They were down there. We've already gone over the reasons why, but they were stuck there and they had to be delivered. And so they left Egypt, and they're on their way to meet with the Lord, with the Messiah, and they're about to get their instruction. Now, in this Torah portion, we see that after they get out into the desert, that there are some others who are going to come and join them. And though that is the family of Yitro, that's Moshe's father-in-law, and his sons Gershom and Eliezer, and his wife Zipporah. So we can expect the same thing. We can expect that there will be others who will join us early in our trip out into the wilderness of the people, and that will happen before we meet with the Messiah, just as it happened before they met with the Messiah back there. And in fact, we are getting ready to meet with the Lord, with Yeshua, with the Messiah, and he is getting ready to give us all of his commandments, which we call words, the 10 words, or the 10 declarations. And they start in Exodus 20. Now, in the past 2 years, I have done other teachings that have gone over in big detail chapters 18 and 19. And so I'm not going to do that this year. I'm going to go right to Exodus chapter 20 and start in verse 1. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make unto you any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down yourself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy to thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Now, right here, I'm going to stop because Yeshua said that if you love me, keep my commandments. Well, he didn't say it there in the New Testament for the first time. He actually said it right here in Exodus 20, verses 5 and 6. He says here that if you bow yourself down and serve other gods, that means you hate me. And he shows mercy to thousands of them that love him and keep his commandments. So right here, loving him is the same as keeping his commandments, and keeping his commandments is the same as loving him, and he shows mercy to those who love him and keep his commandments. Verse 7. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you, your son, your daughter, your manservant, nor your maidservant, your cattle, nor the stranger that is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God gives you. You shall not kill, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor, you shall not covet your neighbor's house, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is your neighbor's. I want to concentrate this week on Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord has given you. Right here we have a commandment that comes with a promise, that your days will be long if you honor your father and your mother. Now, I want to take a look at that word honor. That word right there is Strong's 3513, and it is kabod. It is kaf, bet, dalid. It's kabod. And the meaning, according to Strong's, is that it is a primitive root word, and it means to be heavy. That is, in a bad sense, burdensome, severe, dull, or in a good sense, numerous, rich, and honorable. So what this is telling us is that honor is what we make of it. And I guess I would have to ask this question. Do you think that the Lord would want us to make honoring our parents a burdensome, severe, and dull thing? Or would he want us to make it a numerous thing, a thing that we do quite often, and that it would be a source of richness for us, and that it would also cause us to be honorable? Because if you honor your mother and father, you will be honorable. Now, there's another word that is exactly like this word. It is kaf, bet, dalid, but it actually can be spelled kaf, bet, vav, dalid. And when it's spelled with the vav, it is kabod, and it means weight, but in a good sense, the splendor or the glory or the honor of the Lord. So kabod, glory, is just one letter away from kabod, honor. Kabod's root word, glory, is kabod's honor. So here's the deal. Honor is a heavy task on all of us. It takes effort to honor our mother and father. Now, the first 5 commandments deals with honoring Yehovah. And we know who he is, the one that delivers us from bondage. So that first commandment is an internal understanding, a belief that we have to come to. But then the next 4 have to do with something else. They have to do with behavior, you know, those external actions. And what are those? Avoiding any form of idolatry. And if you're not sure if something is idolatrous, well, don't do it. Leave it alone. Do not profane his name by saying you belong to the Jehovah family, then go out in the world acting like the world. Set yourself apart from the rest of the world by keeping the one day a week that no one else wants to keep unless they are truly in the family, and that day is the Sabbath. And then the fifth one is honor your father and mother. Now, doing this shows what you really think about the Lord. If you are willing to honor your parents, you will also honor the Lord. If you try to put on the show of honoring the Lord, like the Pharisees did, but you don't honor your parents, then you're not honoring the Lord. So just putting on the show of doing that, like they did, which was that they would say that their offering that they could have given to their parents was set apart for the Lord because they didn't want to honor their parents. You'll recall that that happened during the time when Yeshua was on the earth and he scolded them for that. They're not really honoring their parents, and therefore that offering that they gave to the Lord did not honor the Lord either. But let's think about this for a little bit. Father and mother are life givers. Jehovah is life giver. So both require honoring. Now, honoring parents is the beginning of the weightier matters. The other weightier matters have to do with love, kindness, gentleness, and such, you know, some of those that are the fruits of the Spirit. Now, why does following Torah produce the fruits of the Spirit? Well, because it was the Spirit of Yeshua, the Spirit of Messiah, who gave the Torah from the beginning, and he was there at Mount Sinai, that same Spirit was there at Mount Sinai giving the instructions. And Torah and Spirit cannot be separated from each other. Torah is the Lord's Spirit, and the Lord's Spirit is Torah. You cannot separate Torah and Spirit. So if you are doing what the Father says, if you are obeying his commandments, then your spirit will be like his spirit. There will be joy and love and fruit and you know, patience and kindness that you will manifest in the world. That's what the Torah is designed to do for us. Now, Yeshua puts honoring father and mother into the category of loving your neighbor as yourself, too. Matthew 19:19 says, honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. See, those two things go hand in hand. So actually, honoring our father and mother is the same as loving our neighbor as ourself. Now, this is going to be a little bit maybe revolutionary thought for some of those who believe that they can treat their neighbor badly and still be honoring of the Lord. And I'm going to express my opinion that if you are hateful to others, that you are not honoring the Lord, and therefore you're not doing what he said here in Matthew 19:19, honoring your father and mother and loving your neighbor as yourself. You're not doing that when you're being hateful and cruel and short-tempered, impatient, unkind, ungentle, and so forth. So who is it exactly then that is our father and mother on earth? Well, our father and mother can be more than just our biological parents. Let's go to John chapter 19 and start in verse 25. Now there stood by the cross of Yeshua his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Yeshua therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he said to his mother, Woman, behold your son. Then said he to the disciple, Behold your mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her into his own home. Have you ever regarded a non-related person so highly that he or she was like a father or mother to you? That's why I said you don't have to have this short definition of what is your father and mother, because other people qualify to be your father and mother. For instance, those who help you a lot, those who provide for you, they may not be your father or mother. And what about those who teach you Torah? Should we consider that person or persons as our fathers and mothers and honor them? Well, this is for you to answer. I believe that we should be honoring the people that help us in every way. In fact, the brethren who come to help with projects and who offer advice and shoulders to cry on, aren't they giving life to you in the same way that your biological father and mother have given life to you and have provided for you, and how the Father, whom we need to honor, has given life to you? Of course. Basically, what I'm saying here, that the example of honoring our father and mother, and that shows us how we honor the Lord, that actually what we need to do is honor each other. If we will honor each other, we will have a lot less problems getting along with each other. Now, what does honor mean? Honor means, as a noun, high respect and esteem. As a verb, it also means to regard with great respect. And then there are synonyms for the word honor. It's credit, respect, homage, dignity, glory, esteem, venerate, revere, and dignify. Now, in that respect of giving credit, it says that credit is a synonym. One of the ways that we honor others is that we give credit where credit is due. Let us not be afraid to say positive things about others and to others. Let us uplift each other. Let us revere each other. Let us understand that each one of us is in service to the Lord, whether we're teaching or whether we're just whatever we're doing in the harvest field. We are all in the employment of Almighty God, of Yehovah. And so, therefore, we need to give credit to each other where credit is due, so that we can all know how valuable we are. That's what giving credit to someone is all about. It's helping them to know that they have value to you. That is part of honoring them. Respecting them. If they have a different opinion than you, respect that. Don't argue with that. Respect that. When you're in their home and they have a different set of rules in their home than you do in yours, go by their rules. Honor their rules. Give dignity to those people, to those who are working out here in the field, who are serving the Lord and who are trying to learn and trying to do whatever it is that the Lord has for them. Give them their dignity. Don't be someone who takes away from their self-regard, their self-esteem. Add to their esteem. That's what honoring is. That's what loving your neighbor as yourself is. Doing the same thing for them that you want to have done to you. And the blessing is that you will live long in the land that the Lord gives you to possess. Now, we have another issue in the Hebrew Roots movement having to do with honor. I'm going to go over to John chapter 5, verse 23. And I'm just going to give a short answer to the problem of the issue of, is Yeshua God? I just got asked this again this week. I get asked this quite a bit. Somebody will write and they'll say, do you believe Yeshua is God? Well, here's the short answer. John chapter 5, verse 23. That all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He that honors not the Son honors not the Father which sent him. So basically what this is telling you is those who cannot honor the Son are not able to honor the Father. Because questioning Yeshua's deity is a statement of dishonor against him. So you can't honor the Father if you are not willing to give honor, the honor that is due to Yeshua. So let us always honor the Son so that we may honor the Father in truth. And in Exodus 20, verse 18, it says, all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountains smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. You know what this is? It's a description of the Lord's voice and his presence. And it terrified those that were on Mount Sinai that day. We today don't have a clue what that kind of terror is like. If we live to see the Great Tribulation come, we of course will get to have a clue about hearing his voice. But even without us actually having this experience like they had back there at Mount Sinai, we should be able to use our imaginations and get a clue about that this voice should put the fear of God into us. The voice that frightened them so badly back there still reverberates around the earth today, and it should put the fear of God into us about how we obey him. We need to come to the understanding that if we disobey his command, he really does have the power to do something to us. We can know that just by reading the description of the fear and terror that they had back there, and it's not going to be any different for us here at the end of the ages. But conversely, if we obey, then we know that he really does have the power to do things for us. So, here we have disobedience. He has the power to do things to us, and if we obey, he has the power to do things for us. That is the hidden meaning in this description of the people seeing his voice, because they saw the thunderings, they saw the lightnings, they saw the noise of the trumpet, and they also saw the mountain smoking. And when they saw it, they backed off. Well, this is a clue for us. And may we be prepared to meet him when we get into the camps of the righteous. Now I want to go back to Exodus 20, verse 24, where it says, an altar of earth you shall make to me, and shall sacrifice thereon your burnt offerings and your peace offerings, your sheep and your oxen. In all places where I record my name, I will come to you, and I will bless you. I read this because I don't want to leave this Torah portion without pronouncing a blessing. All Torah portions are supposed to end with a blessing, and this is one of those that seems to not have a blessing pronounced at the end of it. Some of them don't. So it's up to the Torah teacher to pronounce a blessing. So let's talk about this place where he recorded his name. But first, let's understand what an earth altar is. An earth altar with stones, uncut by human hands, is God's sign of his ownership of the earth. So if we go cut the stones and build an altar, what we're saying is that we own the altar upon which we presume then to worship him. So if we will build the proper altar whereupon we can worship him, then we are honoring him, and he will record his name there, and he will bless us where his name is. So where does he record his name? Well, first of all, he records it in Jerusalem. Deuteronomy verse 11 and verse 21 says, "Then to the place the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name, there you are to bring everything I command you, your burnt offerings and sacrifices, your tithes and special gifts, and all the choice possessions you have vowed to the Lord. If the place where the Lord your God chooses to put his name is too far away from you, you may slaughter animals from the herds and flocks the Lord has given you, as I commanded you, and in your own towns you may eat as much of them as you want." So there is the instruction, one of the instructions about the place where he would put his name. But in verse 24, he mentions all places where he will record his name. So let's look at the letter then that represents Yehovah's name. That letter is the Shin. It stands for the word Shaddai, which is a name for God. Why? Because Shaddai means Almighty. But you know, Shaddai is associated with something else. In the Torah, the name El Shaddai is connected with fruitfulness. May God Almighty, El Shaddai, bless you and make you fruitful and increase your numbers, comes from Genesis 28, verse 3. I am God Almighty, El Shaddai, be fruitful and increase in numbers, Genesis 35:11. By the Almighty, El Shaddai, who will bless you with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lies beneath, blessing of the breasts, Shaddayim, and of the womb, Racham, from Genesis 49:25. So Shaddai or El Shaddai is associated with fruitfulness. Now, in the place where he has recorded his name, that is supposed to be a place of fruitfulness. He wrote his name, his Shin, on Jerusalem. The mountains upon which Jerusalem is built form the letter Shin, and Jerusalem is supposed to be a fruitful place for him and his word through us in that place. But what other place does he record or write his name on? Well, of course, it's on our hearts. The chambers of the human heart form the letter Shin, just like the city of Jerusalem. And does he not tell us that we are to be fruitful? So wherever we are, his name is with us. Therefore, he is with us. This is our blessing for circumcising our hearts to be in obedience to his commandments, to his will. So we do not need to fear like those ancient Israelites at Mount Sinai when we see, like them, his voice, and feel like them, his kabod/kabod, his weighty glory. Shabbat shalom.